Have a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Daylight saving. I don't know what the government does with the daylight we save. We've saved quite a bit since the beginning of this, and I don't know where it's gone to. Does anybody know where we bank the daylights? Hallelujah. Verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Talk with the pastoral staff, and they said to me, why don't you say a little bit more about the prophetic and the other gifts in the body of Christ before you finish that? I said, okay, so I'll probably finish it today, okay? This is not in-depth, this is not exhaustive, this is just a broad brush on what we've been talking about, otherwise we'll stay here for good. Is that all right? But Christ is the fountainhead of all ministry. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he divided those ministries into different parts and gave them to men and women. The day of Pentecost, for example, the Holy Ghost came down and divided among the people that were at the other upper room in diverse kinds of tongues, or in tongues of flames, is that right? Divided among them, and that was the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus, and we're talking about the men and the women that Christ sets in the church. One of the things that we've been talking about, the prophetic, about the gift and the motivation and the office of the prophet, and there's so much more to say about that. Probably one of the things we haven't said much is that prophecy often comes, probably most of the time, through the preaching of the word. And many times you have a 4,000 member audience, and the man gets up or the woman gets up and preaches, there will be 4,000 messages going out. There's not one sermon. There's 4,000. And every one of the audience will get something different. Why? Because while the man or the woman is speaking, the Holy Ghost can take a fragmentation of that message and personally applies it to your life, and everybody leaves knowing they've heard somehow from God. And many times we forget that, and we need to understand that when people get up to speak the word of God or preach from the Bible, many times it comes prophetically. I note that in our own going away, when you send us away to go and speak at other churches, many times people are astounded, and I'm not astounded because I thought the things that I was giving was just me. Just me preaching, but God takes your water and turns it into wine. And it comes out as water from your mouth, but God takes it and a power empowers it so that by the time it leaves you and the time the person tastes what you are saying, they either get so blessed or get so angry. And many times when we are angry, we leave church, not knowing that maybe God is pinpointing something about our lives that He needs us to change. When God says, comfort ye my people, He's saying comfort. And many times we don't know that word very well because we think comfort is cuddling. What's the most comfortable thing you do with a person that has a boil? You squeeze the core out of the boil. or you lance the boil. Now, how many know that when you do that, it's not very comfortable? How many know after you do that, it's very, very comfortable? And many people leave churches because they think that maybe the pastor is saying something, not knowing that prophetically God may be pinpointing an area in our lives that we need to fix. Hallelujah. And all over the world, in the church world, there are people running around with hurts and pains, trying to cover up their boils because somehow God wanted to squeeze it out and they didn't want it. Are you okay? So many times, we went to one of the largest churches in the country at the time. They had four services in the day, two in the morning, two at night, because the auditorium was big, but you just couldn't get everybody in. I just preached from Luke chapter 5 about the fishing trip and where they let down the net. And when I finished, I just preached that because I felt that's what God gave to me to preach. So I preached that. And the pastor of that church rearranged the whole vision of the church because of that message. Why? Because it was a prophetic message. And many times, don't just, you know, people hear, well, somebody prophesied. Many times God will say something to you, not only as a congregation, but personally through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? Because everything comes back to the Bible. That is the bedrock of our faith. And everything has to match up with what God says in His Word. Now that's the genius of God. Because you read the story of Abraham. It's just a guy that died many years ago. And yet when you preach about Abraham, it's amazing how God can take something from the life of a guy who's dead and put it into your life and say, wow. Why? Because while Abraham's dead, faith lives. Abel, even though he's dead, yet speaketh. I like Elizabethan English. Speaketh. Hallelujah. Out, brief candle. Hallelujah. There's a man in the States. Many people don't know him very much because he's not one of those. But he's profound in the prophetic. And when he prays for people, he just comes in and said, lays hands on you. And all of a sudden, he will give you Luke chapter 4, verse 11. Next one. And you go and read what he gives you. Every single time a coconut. Because every scripture he gives you becomes a prophetic word exactly where you're at. Now he'll say Ezekiel 4 verse 1 and you go read now to you who's standing at the altar, he's just going across giving everybody a scripture and verse, and you go and look it up. It'll just pierce your heart. Powerful. Yet when he comes to preach, this ordinary guy, and when he prays for people, no one falls down under the power. Nothing dramatic happens. But he just gives you a chapter and verse, gets to the next one. And then people go and sit down. And when you stand up and they sit down and they look at what he just quoted them, you see tears coming down. Are you okay? So never underestimate what God says through the preaching. Sometimes people may give a prophetic word and you don't understand. Many times if you are alert, what they say as a revelation, hallelujah, is explained through the preaching. All right? Remember we said, you know, there's a revelation, there's a... You forgot that. I told you that last week. There's a revelation and interpretation and application. Revelation, interpretation, application. And sometimes a prophetic word will come as revelation, but it's not interpreted. And then when you get to the preaching, if you hear, if you listen, you will hear the interpretation of the revelation through the preaching. Are you okay? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, why did you pick just the prophetic? There's a whole lot of other, there's another four offices. So I'll just mention those a little bit, then we can have a cup of tea, go home. Is that okay? Now, one of the things about the first century church is that the first century church was so, so powerful, even though it was prosecuted and ignored. I mean, prosecuted. People tried to drown it out. It was so powerful that even though the society tried to ignore it, they couldn't. Are you okay? The thing was just a powerhouse going somewhere to happen. And then when you compare that to where we are today, many times there's a huge gap. It seems like we have structure, but no power. And you say, why is that? Because I remember a friend of mine who's a great man of God. And he said, the West has got universities, Bible teachings, doctorates in theology and divinity, and no power. He says, the rest of the church world, in the third world countries, and in the eastern countries, there's no doctorates of theology, there's no Christian universities, but there is the raw power of God. Now, I don't think he was against education. He was a PhD himself. Probably one of the most educated men I've ever met. My wife does not like him. Because he said, man, Jack will speak about 5-6 different things and then keeps you hanging while he explains all of them. And then he captures, and by the time he wraps them up, I've lost them. But he's a great man. Why is it that, is it because the God in the West is a different God than the God in the East? No. Is it because the God in the third world country is a better, more powerful God than the God that we worship? No. And there must be something that is not right that we are doing, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you okay? Now, the Bible just said here, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I'll just gloss over that before we have a cup of tea. Is that okay? Now, we said last week, and this is just, you don't define these ministries simplistically as I'm trying to define them, because the definition falls far short. You got apostles, you got prophets, you got evangelists, you got pastors, and you got teachers. Most of the church in the West, have got pastors and teachers. The other three are not there. That means we are 2/5 the power we should have. Now, many times, if you're a pastor, the teaching gift will always be coupled with your office, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So any pastor should be able to teach. Are you okay? Hallelujah. You got that? Apostles, you know, apostles are, prophets are seers. They prophesy. And sometimes a prophet may give you a word that will probably pre-announce, if you understand what I'm saying, pre-announces what God wants to do in your life. I see somebody on. Let me say this first. Sometimes a prophet will give you a word that you already know it's God. It's in your heart. And when a prophet or somebody prophesies over you, it confirms what's in your heart. It's already there. But sometimes somebody will prophesy over you and it has no sense to you. What do you do with that? You leave it on the shelf. Because a few years later, said, oh. I mean, you walk into it without ever knowing. Is this what they meant? So sometimes God may pre-announce something. All right. Or sometimes God will confirm something that's already there. Is that okay? So you got the prophetic, we talk about that. You got the pastors and the teachers. The evangelist is often the guy that will gather people to the cross. And many times he will carry powerful anointings of miracles and healings. Are you okay? And when they come to the church, they mess up the church. And we have evangelists come, we have prophets come, and I tell them, I said, you mess it up and I'll fix it, I'll put it back together. Just do whatever you feel from God to do. If you go out of line, you'll definitely know that you'll go out of line because you're going to get a telling off. But whatever you do, just do what your gifting is there to do. And if you mess up the church, that's all right. Now, this is the problem many times. When visiting ministers come and they minister with such a powerful anointing. A lot of times the people in the church, why don't our pastor minister like that? Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Everybody say it? Of course, that's right. And when they leave, you say, I'll go to that guy's church. Except when you get to his church, all he has is water. And you just left the fountain to go run up after somebody. Are you okay? And there is a tendency, especially in young people, when a powerful evangelist comes, they want to be evangelists, they want to win the world tomorrow. Because there's, and they say, ooh, and they, many times they will probably hear the evangelist sooner than they'll hear Pastor Gary or Joyce. I'm just nicking at some of your boils. Now, how do I know that? Because I probably travel more than any two ministers in the country. And I can go to church and mess them up. And tell the pastor how to fix it back together. Because I come here, I don't mess up my church because this is my home. Now, you notice that I hardly prophesy over anybody. And it's not a gifting that's easy for me to get into. Like I said, I'd rather raise the dead than prophesy. But there are churches I'll go in and I scare myself. Because I'll just prophesy over everybody. And then I said, well, just let me, give me a break, let me preach. Are you okay? So the evangelists carry this power anointing of miracles and healings. And will often, as we said last week, if you weren't here, was like a paratrooper that drops behind the lines. Behind the enemy lines with his weaponry like Rambo and, you know, going around like a machine gun preacher.
Are you okay?
Many times the evangelist, because of his gifting, will preach on a verse and take it out of context so powerfully, and people get saved. And you say, how could he do that? Because that's his gifting. Many years back, we ministered quite a lot under that anointing. And I'll preach on tithing and people get healed. Well, it was just, you know, part of that anointing. Hallelujah. I'm getting to the thing. There's something I want to say. But when I finish saying all these preliminary things, I'll say it. All right. So you got a prophet we talk about. You got the pastor who guards the church. He protects the flock. And because not everything that comes will help the flock. I spoke on tithing one time, and I went to visit one of our families, and in the front room on the desk, I mean on the dining table, was a document about that thick. On tithing, they downloaded off the internet, and every single one of it was against tithing. I'm trying to teach tithing in the church. They get a document against tithing from the internet. You had to guard the flock. And some of the things that you had to do is guard the flock against the things that are on the internet. Because the internet is any Tom, Dick, and Harry can write anything and blog it on the internet. And people take that as gospel over the shepherd of their souls. Are you okay? Now there's a whole section of the church that don't believe in tithing. And they have nice scriptures to tell you. Say, Jesus never taught on tithing. Jesus also never taught on worship. Why do you worship? The only teaching Jesus taught on worship was to the woman at the well. And he said, the Father looks for worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. There is not one scripture in the New Testament to tell you to clap your hands. There's not one that tells you to play a guitar in the church. Are you all right? Why do you clap your hands? Why do you play guitars in the church? I'll just leave that with you. You can answer your own question. I ask the question and you can answer it. Go home and find out. Are you all right? Okay. And this is what we said last week. The apostle will govern, will set the government and the order of the church. Now, as we said just before, these are very, very, you can't just define the apostle on that. But that's a good definition in comparison to the other four. The apostle governs. The prophet guides because he sees things. The evangelist gathers. The pastor guards. And the teacher grounds. He grounds the church. He dissects the word. And the teacher will teach you stuff. He'll give you the Greek and the Hebrew and the Samoan. And, you know. Are you okay? And when those five ministries function in the church is secure and safe. We had a prophetic word about five Sundays ago, that this is a safe place to come. Now I've said about this. Now let me talk about the one I was going to talk about. And after that, we'd have a cup of tea. Even though Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, he didn't do that literally. When Jesus went to heaven, Jesus never appointed a prophet to the church. He never appointed an evangelist to the church. He never appointed a pastor to the church. And he never appointed a teacher to the church. When Jesus died, rose again, and went to heaven, there were only 12 men, and all of them were apostles. Now, that's where the particular denomination said he can't have women in the church because Jesus only chose 12 people and all of them were men. I don't have to explain that any further. He said, Pastor, do you believe in women ministries and women ministers? Definitely, 104%. Now, Pastor Andrew will not like that because Pastor Andrew said 100% is 100%. You can't add to 100%. So I just added 4. To Pastor Andrew, 100 is 100. You can't say 1,000% because that's mathematically not correct to say. It's 100%. It's maximum. That's a perfect 100%. All right. So I believe in women ministers. Are you okay? Hallelujah. But when Jesus left the planet to go to heaven, he gave the church to one ministry. It's the apostle. And it was the apostle that actually delegated the other 4 so that when you come to Ephesians 4, you have another 4 ministries in the church that make it a 5-fold ministry. But when Jesus left the planet, he only gave the church to one ministry, and it's the ministry of the apostle. And in the West, we don't like that. Why? Because we don't like, quote unquote, these labels. Now, is the apostle superior to the other 4? No. It's just different in its function and the way that it was given. Are you okay? Do you get what I just said? When he left to go to heaven, there was only one office, and it's the office of the apostle. And we've killed him because somehow we don't seem to understand. Now, an apostle is somebody that will not only govern the church, but the apostle is the one that will be sent forth by God to establish something. Now, many years ago, if you look at the map, every country that was in red was under the rule of Great Britain. So Canada was red. We were red. Australia was red. Kenya was red. Just about every country. India was red. Pakistan was red. Every country that was governed by the British Commonwealth was red. Now, those colonies did not just, well, from now on we'll be governed by... No, the British sent out a fleet to establish a colony in a foreign country on behalf of His Majesty. Are you okay? Can I talk like that? All right. Now, the man that will lead the fleet will be called an admiral. And he will go in and he will establish the rule of Britain until this country now becomes a little Britain. And the way it's governed is according to the laws of Britain. The man that was sent out was a sent one. And if you put that man in biblical terms, that man would have been an apostle. Now, let me put another thing into biblical terms. His whole fleet of ships would be called an apostolic team. And they came to establish a colony that now is British. Jesus, the admiral, was sent by God to establish a colony in a foreign country. And even though that's where you live, the Bible says we live in the world, but not of the world. We are citizens of where the admiral comes from. We are citizens of where the admiral comes from and the fleet came from that established it. That the admiral and the fleet is called an apostle. And what happens in the new colony, the admiral will delegate authority, but he delegates authority on behalf of a king so far away. In a little sense, that's what the apostolic ministry is like. And it sets the government and the order of the colony and the power and authority of the colony on behalf of the one that sent him. Hallelujah. Now, in the West, we have pastors trying to do the job of the admiral when they don't have an anointing and a calling to do it. Are you all right? Is this okay? Now, in the East and the third world countries, those men and women establish things so powerfully. Now, we used to do that in the West as well until we got very, very educated and changed the government of the church from apostolic government to democratic government. The church is not a democracy. That's why it's got no power. Are you okay? Let me say something else and we can have a cup of tea. If your apostle dies, his anointing is passed on. Now, God passes anointing from one individual to another. When Elijah went, his mantle fell on Elisha. Now, many times in the West, when a man like that dies, the Western thinking is his mantle should be passed to a committee. So we have maybe three or four guys who are trying to manage this anointing that is now passed on and totally kill it. Are you okay? Now, some years ago, the missiologists redefined a mega church. And they said any church less than 100,000 is not a mega church. It has to be 100,000 members and upwards to be a mega church. So if that is what now is a mega church, 100 members and up, there is not one mega church in the West. But there's thousands of them in the third world country. Thank you, Lord, for the cup of tea. Amen.